Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So as we heard at the beginning of this second canto, this Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya is the invocation mantra. But it was not first spoken by Shukadeva Goswami, obviously. We know from the history that who was giving this mantra by Narada Muni? No, who was given this Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudeva to chant? Dhruva Maharaj. So did Dhruva Maharaj come before Shukadeva Goswami or after? Way before, millions of years before. So this, the point is that this Vedic knowledge is not created by the speakers. Ultimately, all Vedic knowledge comes from Krishna, God Himself. So this Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya that we recite before class all the time, following in Srila Prabhupada's footsteps, it's used as the invocation mantra for this canto. But it's not a new mantra. It was not created by Shukadeva Goswami when he appeared to speak to Parikshit Maharaj. It was known. So the whole Vedic knowledge is like that. It's not created. It's not like modern so-called scholars who, as Prabhupada used to make fun of them, they say, I think, maybe, perhaps, in my opinion, all of that is out the door when you come to the Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam means repeating knowledge that ultimately comes from God Himself, not having to speculate or make anything up. So today's verse, first, second canto, chapter 1, text number 3. Nidraya hriyate naktam vyavayena cha va vayaha diva chartehaya rajan kutumba bharanena va. So that first word on the second line, it's vya vayena. Everybody say vya vayena, vya vayena. So please try to get that. The tendency is to compact that and it doesn't come out right. So pronounce it properly. Nidraya riyate naktam vyavayena chava vayaha diva charte haya rajan kutumba bharanena va. Nidraya riyate naktam vyavayena chavavayaha diva charte haya rajan kutumba bharanena va. Nidraya hriyate naktam vyavayena chavavayaha diva charte haya rajan kutumba bharanena va. Please chant. Nidraya hriyate naktam vyavayena chavavayaha nidracharte haya rajan kutumba bharanena va. Nidraya hriyate naktam vyavayena chavavayaha diva charte haya rajan kutumba bharanena va. Nidraya hriyate naktam vyavayena chavavayaha diva charte haya rajan kutumba bharanena va. Nidraya hriyate naktam vyavayena chavavayaha diva charte haya rajan kutumba bharanena va. Nidraya Hriyate Naktam Vyavayena Chavabayaha Diva Charte Haya Rajan Kutumba Paranenava Nidraya Hriyate Naktam Vyavayena Chavabayaha Divacharte Haya Rajan Kutumbha Varanenava Nidraya Hriyate Naktam Vyavayena Chavavayaha Divacharte Haya Rajan Kutumbha Varanenava Nidraya Hriyate Naktam Vyabhayena Chavabhayaha Divacharte Haya Rajan Kutumba Bharanenava. So, synonyms. Nidraya Hriyate Naktam Vyavayena Chavavayaha Divacharte Haya Rajan Kutumba Paranenava. So, synonyms, Nidraya, by sleeping. Hriyate, wastes. Naktam, night. Vyavayena, sex indulgence. Cha, also. Va, either. Vayaha, duration of life. Diva, days. Cha, and. Artha, economic. Ihaya, development. Rajan, O king. Kutumba, family members. Bharanena, maintaining. Va, either. So, Srila Prabhupada's translation for this verse, the lifetime of such an envious householder is passed at night, either in sleeping or in sex indulgence, and in the daytime, either in making money or maintaining family members. Please repeat. The lifetime of such an envious householder is passed at night, either in sleeping or in sex indulgence, and in the daytime, either in making money or maintaining family members. Srila Prabhupada's purport. The present human civilization is primarily based on the principles of sleeping and sex indulgence at night and earning money in the day and spending the same for family maintenance. Such a form of human civilization is condemned by the Bhagavata school. Because human life is a combination of matter and spirit soul, the whole process of Vedic knowledge is directed at liberating the spirit soul from the contamination of matter. The knowledge concerning this is called Atma Tattva. Those men who are too materialistic are unaware of this knowledge and are more inclined to economic development for material enjoyment. Such materialistic men are called karmis, or fruit of laborers, and they are allowed regulated economic development or association of women for sex indulgence. Those who are above the karmis, that is, the gyanis, yogis, and devotees, are strictly prohibited from sex indulgence. The karmis are more or less devoid of Atma Tattva knowledge, and as such, their life is spent without spiritual profit. The human life is not meant for hard labor for economic development, nor is it meant for sex indulgence like that of the dogs and hogs. It is specially meant for making a solution to the problems of material life and the miseries thereof. So the karmis waste their valuable human life by sleeping and sex indulgence at night and by laboring hard in the daytime to accumulate wealth. And after doing so, they try to improve the standard of materialistic life. The materialistic way of life is described herein in a nutshell. And how foolishly men waste the boon of human life is described as follows. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhaktivedanta Swamini Tinamini. Namaste Saraswate Devi Gauravani Pacharani Nirvashesha Shunyavani Pashyati Deshtarani Om Agyana Tamirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Jena Tasmai Shri Guruvaya Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Vishnam Snapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sopadantikam Vandeyahang Shri Guru Shri Yutapadakamalam Shri Guru Unvaishabhangscha Shri Rupam Sagajatam Sahagana Ragana Tanvatam Tangsajivam Sadvaitam Sabadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvatangscha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesh Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namosate Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priya Vancha Kalpaturubhya Shah Kripa Sindhuva Evacha Patitanang Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Dityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasari Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So there's a popular notion that one has to get life experience, go out there and experience the world, and then you can know what to do. But as we can see here in the case of Shukadev Goswami, that's not necessarily true. He stayed in the womb of his mother, some say 12 years, some say 16 years, but he refused to come out because he was self-realized. There's that verse I've repeated a few times describing him. Saha Putra Mahayogin. Saha, speaking to about Vyasadeva, Saha Putra, his son, Shukadeva Goswami, Mahayogin, was a great yogi. He was not an ordinary person. Samadrin, he had equal vision, saw everything equally. So he was not inclined to come out in this world where everybody sees things unequally because they're not seeing clearly. We see all these divisions, black, white, young, old, fat, thin, male, female, rich, poor, healthy, sick. We see all these dualities and we become confused by them. And generally we ask why, especially when we're not in the preferred position. When we're poor, we ask why that person has to be rich. Why not me? When we're sick, we ask, why everybody else is healthy? Why not me? If we're short, why am I short? Why is my brother taller? Just like here in New York, we have that phenomenon. That way, his two sons, the elder son is about 5'6", and his brother is like 6'6", younger brother. So why I have to be short and my brother should be taller? Everything, we see inequality, dualities, and we always wonder why. So again, the popular notion is that you have to go out and experience the world. Here's this inexperienced boy, 16 years old, walking around naked. How can he speak this kind of knowledge? He's never been married, never been involved with a woman. We know in the beginning he walked past the lake where the ladies were bathing naked. And they didn't bother to cover because they could see right away this young man is not interested in... He doesn't see dualities. He just walked by. But when his father Vyasadeva came, who's Shaktivesh Avatar, they covered up. So he stopped and asked him, my son went by naked. You didn't cover. I come by and you're covering up. Why? And they explained, because you're a householder. You make distinctions between male and female. So, of course, Vyasadeva is beyond that himself. But even those who are beyond, sometimes they get married, have children. And this was bewildering to one of Prabhupada's sannyasi disciples. In Mayapur in 76, there was a morning walk. This sannyasi disciple of Prabhupada asked, Srila Prabhupada, can I ask the question? Yes. Why do pure devotees get married? And Prabhupada said, because it's natural. So he kept walking. And then again he stopped. He said, but Prabhupada, I don't understand. Can you please explain? Why do pure devotees get married? Prabhupada said, because it's natural. So they went a little further. Then he asked a third time. And Prabhupada said, you keep asking this because you want to get married. He was already sannyasi, so that was an insult. So we become confused. Why would a pure devotee who doesn't make distinction, doesn't see any duality, why would they get married? Prabhupada said, because it's natural. It's the natural sequence in this material world. So when the pure devotees come, generally speaking, they follow that natural sequence. Brahmacharya life, grihastha life, vanaprastha sannyas. They generally follow that natural sequence. But some don't, like Shukadev Goswami. He didn't go to school. He didn't, no, just straight out of the womb, heard Bhagavatam from the father and the father's disciples, and then appeared here on the scene to speak to. But generally speaking, even when the Lord himself comes, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, how many wives did he have? Two. He got married twice. Krishna, how many wives did he have? 16,108. And that's generally the case. The Lord, when he appears in this world, of course in the transcendental world, he has his consort, either in the Vaikuntha planets or on Goloka, he has all of his gopi girlfriends. But when he comes in this world, he shows, follows the natural sequence, and gets married. So marriage is not condemned. It seems like in this verse today that being a householder is being condemned. But no, the previous verse explained that there are two kinds of household life. There's the Grihamedi and the Grihasta. And the Grihamedi has been described in the previous verse by Shukadeva Goswami in a very interesting way. Shotavyadini Rajendra Rinang Shanti Sahasa Apashyatam Atmatattam Griheshu Grihamedinam. The Grihamedi is a person who has thousands and thousands of topics and things that they're interested in. Beginning nowadays with economic development. Because if you don't have money, then nobody cares for you. You're a nobody. You have to have money. So if you have money, and then they're interested in the arts and the sciences and geology and thisology and thatology and so many topics that they're interested in. But they're not interested in Atma Tattva. They're not interested in knowledge of the self. But the pure devotees, they set the example that you must take interest in Atma Tattva. You must. Otherwise your life is wasted. Totally wasted. Later on, Narada Muni will also set the same example. Technically, it seems he appears as a son of Lord Brahma, but he's eternal preacher, eternal spaceman. But to set the example again, and for our edification, he approaches Lord Brahma and he inquires, Deva Deva Jagat Dattur, Bhuta Bhavana Purvaja, Tadvijani Yajganam, Atma Tattva Nidarshanam. He approaches him, because from the perspective of an ordinary living being, ourselves included, Lord Brahma seems to be the highest personality in existence. The creator God, the four heads looking in all directions and speaking Vedic knowledge and creating planets. And it seems that he is God. So Narada Muni also wanted to set that straight. So he approached him. Deva, Deva, oh, supreme amongst the demigods. Jagat Dattur, the maintainer of the universe, it seems. Jagat, the universe, Dattur, the one who is maintaining. Bhuta Bhavana Purvaja. You're also generating so many living entities. And Purvaja, it seems like you don't have any creator yourself. Because we know Lord Brahma appeared on the lotus flower. Father wasn't technically present, although it's coming out of Lord Vishnu's navel. He couldn't see that. He didn't know. And there was definitely no mother present. So again, from ordinary vision, it seems that he's just self-generated. But Narada Muni said, please give me this Atma Tattva, this knowledge by which one can see the self and see things clearly. So this is what's missing from the lives of the Grihamedis. They're interested in so many things, sports and politics and this and that, but no time for when they walk down the pier. They go to the pier, they just want to see the sunset. And if a Hare Krishna devotee says, my dear sir, please come and see one of these yoga books. No, no, I have no time. They'll stand for 2 hours watching the sun go down, but they have no time to take a Bhagavad Gita and see what's in there. So, in this verse now, again, an inexperienced 16-year-old boy walking around naked. He's explaining what family life is all about. So again, an ordinary person say, hey, get out of here. Go get married, have some children, and then come back and tell me. But no. Prabhupada said, we learn, or an intelligent person learns, by hearing. You don't have to go through the experience yourself. You hear that fire burns. You don't have to stick your own hand in fire to know that it burns. You hear, you observe, and you get the knowledge. You save yourself so much trouble. So an intelligent person learns by hearing. Less intelligent person learns by experiencing. And a really foolish person, even after hearing and experiencing, they still don't learn. Everybody here, stealing is not good. You wouldn't want anybody to take your property, so don't take anybody else's property. So an intelligent person gets it right away, yes, and they don't steal ever. Less intelligent person doesn't sink in, so they steal something and they get caught, beat up, or thrown in jail, and then that's it. They'll never steal again. The real fool, the mudha, gets caught, thrown in jail, and comes out, steals again, gets caught, thrown in jail, and just keeps going like that. Really dense. So we should at least try to be in the second class position. We've all had bad experience in this material world. We hear how bad things are here. And we experience how bad it is. And then we don't want to get me out of here. I just want to go back to home, back to Godhead. But the foolish person, they hear, they experience, and they still don't want to get out. They don't see how time is stealing their life. For no profit, as Prabhupada says in this purport today, no profit to their materialistic endeavors. The attempt is to be happy, right? The overt attempt is to be happy, or sometimes hidden attempt. But bottom line is, if you're not insane, you want to be happy. So then you should conduct your life in such a way that you can gain the highest happiness. But they don't. They never actually become happy. Prabhupada tells the story of two old gentlemen in India. They've been friends since childhood. Every day they hang out and chit-chat and do things together. So one day, one friend comes to the other friend's house. And I've seen it. You've all experienced. And not just in India. In most cultures, it's like that. People become friends for life. They go to the same grammar school, high school, and they see each other practically every day in the village, whatever. So then one man came to the other man's house and he saw his friend was really depressed. He said, "What's wrong?" No, come on, we're friends for so long. Tell me what's wrong. Come on, just tell me what's wrong. Okay, all right, I'll tell you. But before that, the one friend, "I don't understand why you're so unhappy. You have nice business, making nice money, you have nice children, nice wife, nice everything nice. Why are you so unhappy?" So then the other one said, "You want to know why?" He said, "I am 60 years old. Been married since I'm 20 years old. For the last 40 years, every day I'm trying to make this woman happy, and she's still not happy. That's why I'm depressed." So that's material life in a nutshell. Everybody's trying for happiness or to try to make somebody else happy, and it's not happening. No matter what you give them your life's blood, they're not happy. Because we can never be happy by any material means. As Gauranga Prem pointed out in his class yesterday, doesn't matter what you give the fish out of water, he'll never be happy. So we're like that. We're like fish out of water in this material world. It doesn't matter what we get. You could become president. You could become big, big rocks. You could make millions and billions of dollars. Still not happy. Still not happy. So there's a saying in English that money can't buy happiness. And our Ambarish Prabhu once said that the rich people know that it's true. Because they have money, they're not happy. You see? They know it's true. The poor people are hoping that it's true. Because they don't have money and they don't want to see the rich people happy. So the fact is, it's true. Either way you look at it, whether you're a poor person or a rich person, it's true. Money cannot buy happiness. So why spend your whole life running after money? So as this verse says, Sukadeva Goswami is pointing out two things. Nijaya riyate naktam viyavayena shababayam. At night, the foolish materialists, they want to sleep or indulge in sex. Why? Because they want to be happy. They think this is happiness. As Prabhupada said one time, materialistic life means if I can eat voraciously as much as I can stuff, and if I can sleep 24 hours, then I'm happy. I think this is happiness. I don't have to do any work. I'm so rich or so detached or whatever that I can sleep as much as I want and eat as much as I want and engage in sex indulgence. Then that is happiness. But that means we're an illusion. Every one of us has a material body at present. Material body means it's a bag of skin full of blood, bones, pus, urine, so many not desirable things. So we have personal experience of what the body is. But still, due to illusion, we look at another body which is made of the same components and we're thinking, oh, how handsome or how beautiful. There is no beauty there. There is nothing there desirable. And the proof is, when the soul leaves the body at death, that same handsome body or beautiful body is there, but nobody wants it. The very moment before, you could have been looking at this guy thinking he's handsome or that woman thinking she's beautiful. If she falls down in front of you, the soul leaves, death occurs. You don't want that body. Somebody says, you were just attracted. Please, take it home. No. If you become a gas, it's like, no, get it out of here. Burn it, bury it, whatever. So an intelligent person, reasonable person, thinks, why am I attracted? What is it I'm attracted to? Is it this body? Because as we just said, if the body is given to you, but there's no life there, you don't want it. So there must be something beyond the body that we find attractive. And that's the soul. So if one tiny little spark, spirit soul means 1/10,000 the tip of a hair. That's the dimension of the spirit soul. So if that tiny spark can animate and make this body seem attractive, then what to speak of the supreme soul, who is the generator of countless, unlimited individual jivas, and also the material energy from which the body is made. So why not be attracted to the supremely attractive source of everything? As Krishna says, Ahang sarvasya prabhamatak sarvam prabhartate iti mantu abhajante buddha bhavasamanvita. Those who are actually intelligent, knowing me, that I am the source of everything, both material and spiritual, they engage in my devotional service. So this then becomes the sign of intelligence in human life. If we evolve to the point of really desiring to serve the Lord, that is the sign of intelligence. So Lord Chaitanya came 500 years ago to give us this knowledge and the process by which we can come out of illusion. Vairagya Vidya Nija Bhakti Yogam Shikshartha Beka Purushak Purana. He is the same Krishna himself that appeared 5,000 years ago. But Prabhupada said, because Krishna is God, he had to order. He's not begging you, he's ordering. Sarvadharma Pritisha, Mamekam Sharanam Pada, Ahang Tvam Sarvapapish, Moksha Shami Masacha. Surrender unto me, give up all other varieties, activities, so called dharma, this and that. Just surrender to me. That's God, he orders. But because we're foolish, Prabhupada said, we think, oh, who are you to order me? I don't want to. You're asking too much. Foolish. God himself is asking. We don't want to do it. So out of compassion, he comes back again. 500 years ago he came, Lord Chaitanya, to show us how to surrender to God. Give us a very simple, sublime process. Chant, chant, and chant. Chant this Hare Krishna mantra. Krishna eyes your activities. You have to eat every day. Eat only Krishna prasadam. You have a tendency to want to know what's happening in the world. All of that knowledge is here in the Srimad Bhagavatam. As Prabhupada said in the invocation, he explained that the Srimad Bhagavatam deals with 10 subject matters. And we have some brahmacharis in the room. I especially always tell the brahmacharis, Ashwai, you're listening. You must know this verse. If you're studying Bhagavatam, you must know what are the 10 subject matters. Atra sarga visargasya sthanam poshanam utaya manvantar eshanakata nirodha muktir ashraya. You must know, especially the brahmacharis. Everybody should know because we're studying Bhagavatam, so we should know what's in the Bhagavatam. What is it dealing with? So as Prabhupada said, sarga means creation. Creation. And the most notable thing about creation, because all of us think that we are created in some way or other. I've created this house or created it. Like every day you hear the bang, bang, bang back there. They're creating this huge apartment building behind Prabhupada's garden back there. Humongous, right? I don't know how many apartments are supposed to be there. You know, you live next door. 72 apartment units in this big. Oh my God, it's going to be an eyesore when it's finished. Right now they just have the framework going up, so it doesn't look so bad. But when it's done, because, you know, we've been here in New Dwarka since 70, 71. I first came in 75. We got used to seeing. This was kind of back in those days, big sky country. Everything was single story, and you could see the sky wherever you look. Now, gradually, you can't even see the sky. It's becoming more like Manhattan. more and more skyscraper buildings going up, even in this residential area. So we have to learn what are these. So creation means you provide the ingredients. Then you're a creator. They're not creators. The next one is visarga, which means subsequent creation. If you're a subsequent creator, then how proud can you be? Like that joke somebody told recently, it's an old joke, where the so-called scientist was thinking, you people believe in God, but whatever you say God can do, we can do. Why are you still believing in God? So the faithful person prayed to God, please come and straighten this person out. So God appeared on the scene, and the scientist said, oh, you can, God, you're God, whatever you can do, I can do. So God took some clay, made a human form, breathed into it, made it alive. So the scientist said, we can do that. So he took some clay, and God said, get your own clay. So you can't create anything. The ingredients don't belong to you. Whatever you want to create, like somebody created this podium, once a tree was growing, then the tree was cut down, and somebody turned it into lumber, and then somebody took that lumber and took it in a shop and made a podium. So you can't claim to be the creator. Prabhupada used the example in terms of what he would call almirah. An almirah is a closet, and a little cupboard that you keep your stuff in. So he said, if I hire some carpenter to build me an almirah, and I give him the wood and the nails, and I describe to him what I want, and I give him food every day, so when it's done, if he thinks it's my almirah, then he's a thief. It's not yours, even though you put the sweat into it. So it's the same thing. All the energy that we have is coming from God. Energy comes to the body by eating food. But where does food come from? As Prabhupada said many, many times, you can't make anything edible. You can go make your factory and make nuts and bolts and cars and rubber tires, but you can't make anything to eat. Anything edible that sustains the body is given by God. Apples and grains and everything edible is given by God. Even the meat eaters, they can't create the animals. The animals create themselves. Dogs and cats get together and make dogs and cats. Cows get together and make more cows. So you're dependent at every step of the way. We're dependent because without eating, there's no anything. You can't do anything. So just from that one act, you can see that you're dependent. We're dependent on God. The intelligent person understands, yes, I'm dependent on God. But the modern scientists, nah, you know, you people are doing rain dance to get rain and you're praying to God for... No, we have our factory farm. But where did you get the seeds from? That's an intelligent person. Where did you get the seeds from? Without the seeds, without the rain, without the sunshine, no food. So a Brahmana is never bewildered. That's a Brahmana. So Shukadev Goswami is beyond Brahmana. He's topmost Vaishnava. He's giving all this knowledge. At night, sleep or sex and joke, nijaya riyatena naktam vivayas, diva cha te haya rajan. Oh, my dear king, during the daytime, such foolish householders simply run around trying to make money. But if you're not destined to have money, it's not going to stay, even if you get it. We look in our society today, we see so many people forming from rags to riches and back to rags. Specifically, you can see in the athletic community, a lot of athletes. Their whole life has been using their body to make money. Jumping, shooting a ball, whatever. But not so smart necessarily in how to keep money. So they get money, millions of dollars, and they blow it. Go to Vegas, you know, buy so many 20, 30 fast cars. Why you need 20 cars? Well, there are many people like that. They have 20 cars in the garage and they're proud of it. $20 million tied up in steel and rubber and they're very proud. But if it's not your karma to have money, then we see they get from rags to riches, and then again, after 5-10 years, no money. What happened? They spent it all. Or they got ripped off by some intelligent so-called financial advisor. Another case, when I was living in the San Diego community in the early 90s, a lot of people retired to San Diego area because it's always warm and it's nice area there. So there was one guy. But a lot of them, they come with their money and they don't want to just keep it in the bank. They want some little more return, so they look for some financial advisor. So this guy was a financial advisor, except he was a big crook. And over time, he ripped off many, many retirees for millions and millions of dollars. So finally they caught him. He was arrested, tried, put in jail. But this guy was such a first-class criminal, he had the list of all of his former clients with their phone numbers. So he called them up from prison and convinced them that he was a lawyer who was going to recover their money. All they had to do was send a couple of $1,000s to this particular bank account. And many of them did. So they got ripped off twice. So again, if it's not your karma to keep money, even when it's obvious that you're getting ripped off, you still get ripped off. So we should not be enamored and live this kind of lifestyle that Shukadev Goswami is condemning here. Simply sleep and sex at night and the daytime running around to make money. And as soon as you get money, you're wondering, what else can I buy for my wife or my son or my daughter? They already have more than enough. The son already has 200 pairs of sneakers in the closet and you're going out to buy the latest $500 pair of sneakers thinking that that shows love. That's not love. That's foolishness. So again, we should take this to heart. We're hearing Bhagavatam every day, first of all, for our own edification. It's not just an exercise in, you know. So we should take these points to heart. Don't live that kind of life. Simply sex and sleep at night and all day long chasing money. And nowadays, they don't even bother chasing. They just sit down at a computer. They learn how to code or whatever. They break into some bank somewhere. If we, as people who have bank accounts, I presume most of you have, if you know how many billions of dollars the banks have lost, you would. But it's not so evident. It's not so evident to the ordinary bank user, bank account holder. But ultimately, we pay for it, all the losses. There was a story. They caught one of these bank crackers, and he sat down with them at a breakfast, and they were so impressed with him, they hired him to be their head of bank internet security. So that's how it is. So nowadays people make money easily. They become internet influencers, or they become, you know, coders who can crack into any system, and they make money easily. So it's not, this doesn't make so much impact on them. But in those days, where Shukadev Goswami speaking to the king, to earn money you had to really work. You had to be a brahmana, teaching, and then accepting whatever charity came. You had to be a kshatriya, ruling and ready to fight to protect your turf. And then therefore you were allowed to collect taxes. You have to be a vaishya, go out and protect the cows and plant and raise. You had to really work. Or you were a shudra, you had to assist others. So to work hard and make money just to maintain a family is being condemned here. Some of that money at least should be used in spreading Krishna consciousness and serving the Lord's for his satisfaction. And in that way, money can be, we don't say don't earn money. We don't say don't have family life. But everything has to be Krishna-ized. Put Krishna in the center, and then it becomes complete. So we can stop here. Any questions, comments? Okay, Grantarachiman Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Gaura Bhaktivedanta Ki Jai. Hare Krishna.